Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
I hate saying hello more than once. I hate it.
I know.
But I can't just say it once. What do you expect? Hello. Weird. Hello. Missing the third.
Exactly.
And then you say it three times and it's just weird. Hello. Hello. I hate it.
Hello. We need to find like a good way to start off this podcast because we just never manage it.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. I'm not even going to let us do this any longer. Let's just go. Kick it off. I've gotten Is It Just Me? It's my own. Is it just me? And I can't remember who I was talking to about this the other day. Maybe it was you, actually. Can you eat on the loo?
Absolutely not.
And I don't mean like take a meal to the loo. I mean, you know, so like, oh, sorry, guys, I'm just going to go and take my breakfast somewhere. No, I mean, like, you know, sometimes, I don't know, like, OK, let's say you're having a chewy breakfast or you're on the way to the loo. You see a sweet, like a Tang Fastic, and you're like, oh, yum. And you put that in your mouth and then you go to the loo and then you sit down and you realise that you're still chewing, because that is probably the most traumatising thing that can happen to a person. When I realise that I have food in my mouth and I'm on the loo, I'm like, I have to hold my breath in case I breathe in through my nose and any poo particles go in the way of the food and then I have to swallow them. I don't know if that's the science, but it feels like it.
I feel like that is the science. Would love anyone's actual expert advice on this, but I think it is, because isn't there just like poo particles in the air and then you're just ingesting them? I mean, we were probably ingesting them anyway, but like, you don't want to add to it.
But you also don't want to taste it. Like, I'm like a sniffer dog, always have been. My sense of smell is so strong. So even like when I'm eating, if I smell something while I'm eating, that's what I'll end up tasting.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, really bad. But it happens sometimes. But I just remembered it was Jenny, manager Jenny, who I was talking to. And she went to the loo and she came back from the loo with a mouthful of food. I was like, have you? And she left for the loo with a mouthful of food and she came back from the loo with a mouthful. I was like, if that's the same mouthful, there's something wrong with you.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
But she said she just had to stop chewing. When she sat on the loo, she's like, I just had to stop chewing and just hold it in my mouth.
If I had like a boiled sweet or something, I could continue to suck on it. But I don't think I could actively chew on the loo. No chew on the loo.
I'll get good rules. Good. Let's put that on a magnet.
No chew on the loo.
Nice. Anything else for me?
Okay, so I actually have a voice note today.
Modern.
I know, so modern, so professional. And if anyone would like to submit their Is It Just Me as a voice note, because sometimes it's just easier than like writing a long email, you can record on voice memos and then just send it to shouldidelatethatpod@gmail.com, or you can send the voice notes to our Instagram account via DM. So here we go. I'm going to play it.
Hello. Just wanted to say I love the podcast. I've got an Is It Just Me that I thought I'd send in because it's very specific and I want to know, is it just me? So when I'm laid in bed at night and I can't sleep, I count to 1,000 in my head in increments of 100. But for every 100, I count in the theme tune of a different song. So for example, I could do Gotta Get Through This by Daniel Bedingfield. And in my head, I'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. God, I got too into that. But I basically want to know, is it just me? Or is anyone else also very unique and use this method to get to sleep? Thank you.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed with her. One, two, three.
I am going to be doing that from that, yeah.
Wow.
Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. No, wait.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
11, 12. Oh, oh my God, this
wow.
is so good.
Can we have another song? Think of another song. Any other song?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, five, six, seven, eight. No, 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 wait. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. I love that Alex just heard that and like came in and closed the door like,
yeah,
I'm
like,
sick of your shit.
Fuck up.
What are you two doing now? Fuck's sake.
Oh my God, that love is that. The coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole entire life. I'm so inspired. But also, I'd say she must be a really musical person because that wouldn't come easily to me. I think I would.
But I think that's
it would
the point,
keep
isn't
me
it?
Awake trying to like think of my next song. I'd be like, oh God. And then, oh, you can hear Alex upstairs. I've asked him to help me pack. We're going to Manchester in a minute, guys. Like literally in a minute.
Going to
we're
Manchester.
Very stressed. I'm actually sweating thinking about it. Not Manchester, just the travel. I hate leaving the house. Maybe I should start counting in songs. So she goes to 100 in one song and then the next 100 a different song, yeah?
Yeah, love
wow.
that. It's actually brought up a, and is it just me for me? It's a bit of a disgusting one, but so bear with me. Is it just me or do people enjoy spot popping videos? Because that's how I get to sleep.
You've asked this before and there were
have
crickets
I?
In the DMs. Yeah, nobody...
Have I?
Although, no, you have.
Okay. Well,
you and I have definitely talked about this, but... Can I? That's a very timely. Is it just me from you? Because my DMs this week. Oh my God! This was so gross. My stories, right? I got a cheer when I no. I had a meeting on Monday. I got a chia seed stuck in my teeth, and I was like, oh, I've got
yeah.
a chia seed stuck in my teeth, and I can't get it out. And somebody said, why don't you use your hair as tooth floss, as dental floss, right? So I tried, and inevitably, my hair just snapped, and then I had a chia seed and a piece of hair in between my teeth, which was fucking gross. Anyway, I then said, like, and then somebody else was like, oh, I use my earring, and, like, people had all these whatever things, pretty gross things. So then I put
yeah.
a question box up being like, are you gross? If you are, like, what do you do when no one's looking? And... they're all fucking feral, but a lot of people do the spot squeezing and watch the spot squeezing and like actively
But my question is, where are these people? And also these accounts have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers. So people are enjoying it, but why can I never talk about this with people in real life? Whenever I bring it up, they're like, fuck off, that's disgusting, your rank.
I get it.
So where are these people?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but it's not...
Where are my people?
It's not the cool, like, it's not like the... It's not sexy,
not
is
cool.
it? It's not, obviously not, but it's not like,
no.
I don't know, it's not
it's
mainstream.
It's definitely not sexy.
No, like it's slightly
Isn't
perverse.
Isn't it? Is it?
Well, it's not,
is
I
it?
Don't know. Like, okay, some of the things that people do, right, that were coming up, although, I mean, a lot of people pick their nose and eat it.
No, they don't.
Yes, they,
no, they
do.
Don't.
That was the main
no,
one
they
that
don't.
Came, yes, they
okay.
do. That was the main one that came through.
I think we've talked about this before, but I still don't have an answer to what is the incentive for eating once you've picked? What is
I
the
don't
incentive?
Know, but I'm just, I have, I'm feeling a bit sick today. I don't want to
okay,
dwell on these
that,
spots.
Then.
I don't want to dwell
no.
on the eating it. But while we're here, while we're on rank things that humans do, they pick their nose and eat it. Don't dwell, just don't think about it. We'll just skim over it. They fart in their own hands and then smell it. The most dangerous
yeah,
one.
Yeah, cupcake.
Yeah, people are cupcaking themselves, though. Themselves?
Yeah.
What the fuck do you do? You look like a woman that does that.
No, but I mean, I don't want to out anyone, but I know a lot of people who do that.
Fuck me, I don't, thank God.
Yeah.
A lot of people bite their own toenails
right.
and eat them.
No, that, no, hang
but
on.
But that's also admirable flexibility. I love that.
There is just way too much to unpack there. Okay, first of all, how are you biting your toenails?
Well, I'll show you, but I think this is, like, it's pretty easy to get this to my mouth because I'm super flexible, but I think this is a really good example of just because you can, it doesn't mean you should. Do you know what I mean?
But, like, things, like, amazing tools exist, you know? You've got
Yeah, like, nail clippers.
Nail scissors? Why would you choose
oh,
to bite them
this
yourself?
This gets worse. Like, honestly, some of the entries that we had, one girl was squeezing her tonsils,
yeah.
and I don't understand how, squeezing her tonsil stones.
Okay, so this is really gross, but that is something that these spot popping videos often feature as well, is removal of tonsil stones, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating because you can't see them And then suddenly they pop out.
We're not dwelling. I can't. I think I've had too much exposure to it. But then high risk, high reward. One person, actually this happened a couple of times, puts a Kirby grip, like a bobby pin, up their nose to trigger a sneeze.
I used to do that.
Alex, that is the most dangerous and reckless thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, not a hair grip. I actually went through a phase of this. It was quite weird. But I used to like wrap up tissue and like make it into a point and then like trigger myself to sneeze.
Yeah.
I went through a weird phase of that actually. That was really strange.
That is strange. Luckily, but at least it's safe. Like a tissue, you know what I mean? Like, fine. Like, really, I mean, it's weird. It's weird, but you're not going to hurt yourself. But imagine, right? You put that up there, then you sneeze. But, like, how do you not stab yourself in the brain with a Kirby grip? How are you going to explain that to a doctor?
Well, take it out before you sneeze.
Well, obviously, but what if it comes quickly? What if you're doing it and then, bam, sneeze?
Do you know you can't keep your eyes open while you sneeze? So every time I sneeze now, I do like this. Because I just find it interesting. That was the wrong medium to do something visual there, but I'd like hold my eyes open because it fascinates me.
I think you'd be better served putting your hands over your mouth while you sneeze. Like, we are still in a pandemic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not in public.
Everyone's like watching Al on the train. Yeah, eyes wide open, snotting all over them. I've got a little Is It Just Me that came in via the Instagram. It definitely isn't just you that sent this in, but it elicited a really amusing memory. And I don't think my mum listens to the Thursday episode, so it's a really good opportunity to tell the story and embarrass her.
Okay, love that.
But somebody sent a message saying, is it just me that has to eat their Weetabix soggy? I have to use loads of milk to make it soft and soggy because I hate crunchy Weetabix, which I think is fairly common. I think that's the point. Yeah. I think it's supposed to be really soggy, right? That's it. That's the DM. So like you're not alone. Oh, right. That's how you eat it. It elicited a memory. My mum once a few years ago on my birthday, have I told you this?
It's like
my 26th or my 27th birthday or something. Anyway, we went out for dinner. We were on the Isle of Man having a lovely time. Went out for dinner, came back. It was just my mum, me, a couple of my friends, Alex, like whatever. It was really nice, having a really nice time. And we were playing Odds On, you know, the game that's like, I don't know, odds on, you go outside the room and scream, I like shoving cotton wool up my bum really loudly. And you'd tell me, like, you'd tell me what the odds of you doing that are. And you'd probably be like, okay, I've never been here before. I don't know any of these people. I really don't want to do that. So it's 1 in 1,000. No, 1 in 100. Like, I really don't want to do it. 1 in 100. Okay. So then we'd both go 3, 2, 1 and say a number between 0 and 100. And if we get the same number, then you have to do it. And then you can reverse it, right? But if it was like, oh, I dare you to like tap your microphone, you'd be like, that's obviously I'll do that. So it's 1 in 2. Do you see what I mean? So that's how the game works. Okay. So we were playing Odds On, having a lovely time. And for some reason, my mum odds on herself to eat an entire Weetabix dry. So no one asked her to do this. You know, we were all and she was like, I bet I can't do this. And we were like, okay. And she basically effectively odds on herself to eat, put a whole dry Weetabix in her mouth in one go. And I have honestly never seen anything like it in my life. She's a small woman with a small mouth and she put a whole Weetabix in her mouth dry in one go. And
dry.
With no fluid and set off really quick. And then it was just like, it was the saddest thing I've ever seen. She just, it must have taken an hour of just chomping like a horse.
Oh my God, she just kept going.
She just had to keep going because it's so big in there. You can't just and spit it out.
Yeah, but why didn't she just say, I'm done?
She couldn't say anything. She had a mouthful of Weetabix.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, every time I think of Weetabixes now, I just think
of your mum's a legend.
Is she? It's kind of odd. Odd.
I just love that she odds on herself.
I know, so good. But yeah, now I can't think. I think she'll never have a crunchy Weetabix again, to be fair, babe. So you're definitely not on your own.
I've just got an email to read out that I thought was really interesting.
You hit me.
Its subject is deliberate therapy session. Hi girls, must start with the usual love the show and podcast. You must, thank you. You have such a lovely, relaxed and natural energy, but also bringing some really interesting material. A great place to be in my eyes. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I was listening to the deliberate therapy session with Jacqueline. Firstly, it's so lovely to hear mental health being talked about openly, and I'm sure so many people have really benefited from that episode. I really felt for Alex Alex through it, perhaps because I'm a fellow people pleaser, someone for whom it takes active work to say no and set boundaries. Something I find really helpful, both personally and professionally, I'm a clinical psychologist, is adding an extra layer of understanding to the techniques you were discussing with Jacqueline by taking a compassionate approach. Paul Gilbert / Kristen Neff are great people to check out if you're interested in reading more. They have loads of resources on their website. In a nutshell for this scenario, it would be acknowledging that we all have an evolutionary need to being perceived as part of the in-group in order to survive. Cave people needed to work together to hunt, gather, reproduce, and we still have this old part of our brains. So human brains are going to throw up those thoughts about what others think about us. And as you discussed, this can be shaped more by life experiences, etc. We can't necessarily stop that from happening, but we can acknowledge that this is not our fault. We didn't choose to have brains with old and new parts that can get tangled up, but it is our responsibility to understand and find a way to help and support ourselves through the challenges of having a tricky human brain. Often this may be through strategies such as those discussed on the podcast, but these can be hard to access from our threat brain. Given our evolution, this automatic response will involve physical flight, fight type reactions, which, given they are built to keep us alive, tend to make it difficult for us to access thinking. There's no time for that as far as your brain is concerned. So often adding, practicing strategies to soothe our threat system when it's activated by this social threat helps to access more kind, supportive and compassionate thinking, which does involve those more difficult decisions and choices that may be uncomfortable in the short term, but better for us in the long term. This has turned out to be much longer than I was expecting. Turns out it's hard to explain this in a nutshell. I guess I just wanted to share it for you as bringing more of this understanding and some practices to physically soothe this, e.g. soothing, rhythm breathing, hand on heart, would help access the more cognitive thinking stuff. I love that because I think that's actually sets us up nicely for Monday's episode, where we're going to actually be discussing this stuff in much more depth.
We've got Jacqueline coming back again on Monday for Monday's episode. And I'm absolutely terrified. I'm really excited, but I'm also absolutely terrified because it's always Al in the hot seat when Jacqueline comes to stay. But this time it was me. And it was very vulnerable. But so you're so right. We really explored this. And actually, it's really interesting because you, Al, kind of like that kind of like compassionate and empathetic kind of like part. Like of the process, and I've never really come at it before. Like I'm quite, I don't know, tough love with myself. Like I've never kind of addressed this stuff with compassion. I always just like, I want the solution. I'm quite solutions focused, which is why I never pursued therapy, because I really enjoyed life coaching, because I didn't really want to explore the whys. I just was like, I don't really care why I feel the way I do. I just want to not feel like this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do find it interesting, and it is really nice to hear. And you've been reminding me this, and you sent me a really good book last week called Why Has Nobody Told Me This Before by Dr. Julie Smith. And that's been really cool for me. It's like my first like foray into the understanding of the why, which is basically what that email was just saying. And I really appreciate that because... Yeah. It's really easy to like take all the blame, particularly when you do a lot of coaching. It's really easy because the solutions are in your hands. It's really easy to feel like the problems are all your fault, and which at its simplest form, yeah, like I'm feeling sad because, and I'm making myself feel sad. Other people can't make me feel sad, which is a very powerful thing for me. And I personally really enjoy that because I'm like, good, other people can't make me sad, which means it's on me to make me happy. And I love having the power to do that. And that's very empowering for me. But it's also nice to know when you're feeling sad that it's the way that your brain works. It's not that something's wrong with you that you've done that. It's not that you're weak or it's not that you're stupid. It's that this is how humans work. So that's cool, basically.
Yeah, I think I like that. I think, yeah, we slightly differ in that I'm very, I like to, I feel like that part has to be nurtured or at least, soothed, I guess, for lack of a better word, before you can like tap into your higher brain, like your intellect. So I guess it's like the, God, I sound like a walking therapy session, but like, I guess it's the inner child that gets triggered with stuff like that. And before you move on to your rational adult brain, you need to deal with that. And I like that. I like that side of it. That for me just makes more sense.
Yeah. And for me, it doesn't. Like and it's really weird. I actually love that. And that's been a really key part of it as well, of knowing that people heal and think just so differently.
Yeah, and this is, we differ with therapy on this as well, don't we? Because I'm a big advocate for healing like wounds from your past, because that's what's worked for me. But you don't necessarily like that approach.
Yeah, but I've got no interest in my past. Yeah, like I don't care. I don't care. I think I used to, and I used to think it really mattered. But for me, I'm just like, I don't care where I was, and I don't care why I am the way that I am now. The fact is, I am the way that I am, and I want to feel better. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I very much feel, yeah, like it's sort of irrelevant. And a big part of that, it has to include forgiving yourself for your past, because... like, and Jack taught me this. She said, you do what you do with the tools that you have. And so I just had shit tools, right? So no one's blaming me for my actions previously or for the way I was doing it before. I just had the wrong tools. But I didn't want to sit there and, like, analyse the spanner and why it didn't work with the Allen key thing. Black, you know, I don't want to go and talk about, like, when I was sad when I was six. I just can't be bothered. I'm just too, like, I'm just too impatient. I'm like, no, I need the solution right now. And that's why I literally tried so many therapists before life coaching, and they want to talk about my past, and I'm like, oh, fuck off. It's irrelevant. It's gone.
That's really fascinating, isn't it? And it must be just different brains and how different brains work, because I can't move forward with anything. But I'm like this with a lot of stuff. Like, I have to get to the bottom of something, the root of something. You hear me say that all the time. I bang on about getting to the root of stuff all the time, because for me, without doing that, I can't move forward. I like to have full understanding of everything. Like,
and that's,
my entire brain.
That makes you a better person. Look at me picking up fucking car facts and telling you that plastic was invented in, like, the wrong century. Or like,
I'll probably do that too.
No, I'm like, you're much, it's a much better way of living to understand everything than me. I'm just like, oh, fuck it, I'll never get it, so YOLO. I'm like, not even gonna try.
If that's what, and coaching has done absolute wonders for you, so yeah. it's different strokes for different folks, but I thought it was nice to just round out the conversation a little bit more and like offer that side of it.
Yeah, I love that, because I'm very like, I think I'm a bit too black and white with it. And I really think that the tools that what Jacqueline, and particularly the episode coming out on Monday, I think the tools that she gives are absolutely like instrumental and really powerful, and anybody can apply them, but often on their own. For a lot of people, they're probably not enough on their own. Because a lot of people do need that, like, empathetic, and they need a much more, like, therapeutic, and that's fine. Like, obviously, courses for courses. Yeah. How many different expressions can we say of... That's it. I'm out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweater starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I've just got really, like, again, a very innocuous, is it just me? But this is just a really good example of just how embarrassing it is to be a human being all the time. Why is it so embarrassing? Scott says, hi, Alex, Em, Daisy and Amy. I have to start, obviously, that I love the pod and it keeps me going over the last few months. I've had long COVID. Oh, bless you. I've been off work for 5 months with long COVID. That's horrid. I'm very sorry. I hope you get better soon. Pretty much every day I go to my local Starbucks as a treat to cheer myself up. Sometimes I use the drive-thru and sometimes I go in. Today I went through the drive-thru. I knew the girl serving me because I'm there all the time. Lol. She handed me my drink, which I always check, and it was wrong, so she was getting it changed. My COVID brain fog and anxious head kicked in. I forgot I was in gear, took my foot off the clutch, and my car stalled, rolled forward with a jolt. She stifled a laugh and asked if I was okay, and I just said, yep, forgot I was in gear, took my drink and drove off. Is it just me? Does anyone else overthink this embarrassing situation and go through all these possible scenarios, or am I the only one? Also, can I go back there, or do I need to find a new coffee shop? Yeah, you've got to find a new one. You're a Costa girl now.
I reckon that woman won't have thought about it since.
I think people stall at the drive-thru all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah, I think she's probably seen a hell of a lot worse. However, I do overthink situations. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I would overthink.
There's
anything,
nothing more embarrassing than like a small situation in a car. Like, Like, I hit my car on a really tiny, you know, in supermarket car parks, they have like the trolley space, and they have tiny little pillars around the trolley space, stupidly small for a car park. IMO. That means that, in my opinion, I'm just trying to be down with the kids. I hit my car with it, and my car was absolutely fine because it's a big car and it hit the bottom bit. And anyway, it was just so fucking embarrassing. And I hate, as a woman, to do anything other than drive brilliantly, because I don't want people to look at me being like, well, look at that little woman in her big car. Of course she crashed it. Hee hee hee. Like, typical. Yeah. So I feel like a responsibility to the womanhood to just drive. Like, that's why I'm so good at parking, I swear down. I just want to be so good that no one can have... What's the word? I just want to do it for feminism, you know. And it's so embarrassing.
Yeah,
there's a huge pressure. When I'm a bad driver, I'm like, brilliant. I'm just set the womankind back. That was good of me. Love that.
Don't worry, Em. I'm doing that for all womanhood. I'm carrying the burden on that one.
That's really generous of you. It's so annoying, yeah. The misconceptions that we have about driving. I just get so annoyed at myself. And now, whenever I see a bad driver, I always gender them as a man. I use he,
good.
Him pronouns. Because I just, even if
but
it's
so
a woman.
Do I.
Oh.
I would rather be in a car with a woman than a man driving me.
Would
100%.
You? Would you?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think we're more sensible?
I think we're more sensible, and well, that's how I like it. Slow and steady and sensible.
That's how I like it. Someone told Dave. Slow, steady and sensible. Naming a sex tape. When you start your OnlyFans. Slow, steady and sexable. Sexable! Sensible. Women get lower insurance than men.
Because they have less accidents on the whole.
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh,
we're just generally
so
better drivers. It's annoying, actually. It's such a frustrating misconception. Because, I mean, I know I'm on incredibly thin ice given that I'm waiting for the information on my speed awareness course. But generally speaking, like, when I went to that, I think the last time I went to it, again, I know how it sounds, okay, guys. The last time I went to a speed awareness course, I was one of only two women. And there were, like, 11 men.
Really? So there you go. Do you know what? I was in a taxi the other day, and we were on the motorway, and I was on my phone, and then suddenly I felt like, God, it feels like we're going really fast. Looked up, and we were doing 99 miles per hour.
Speedy.
That's not right, is it? That's not right. Like, that. Well, it's obviously not right. The speed limit's 70. So, and obviously, because I'm absolutely...
Did you call the police from the back of the car? I have to report a crime.
Oh, that made me laugh. No, but I texted Dave being like, he's going at 99 miles an hour. Do I say something? And Dave was like, yes, ask him to slow down. So I did. I was like, I'm really sorry, but I'm a bad passenger. Do you mind slowing down a bit? And then I was like, why did... Oh, God, so stupid.
What did he say?
Yeah, he just said, of course. He was absolutely fine.
Oh.
But yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why cars go as fast as what they do if you're not supposed to go that fast. It
Wait,
upsets
I've never
me.
Thought about that.
Cars go
that
so
makes
fast.
Absolutely no sense.
I think my car goes like 130 something miles
but
an hour.
Is it because of Germany and their motorway rules, like the U-Bahn? No, not the U-Bahn.
In the Isle of Man, there's no speed limit. There's no national speed
See,
limit.
That's why those countries are ruining it for everyone else. Because I would like a car that didn't go above 70. Perfect.
You can get one. I don't think smart cars do that.
And I'd like the whole world to have that as well. So that we just make ourselves a lot safer, you know?
Yeah, I think most, I mean, not to like just ruin your life, I think a lot of accidents happen when you're going a lot slower than that. Look at me in Sainsbury's
Do
car
they?
Park. Yeah, I'm cocked 3 miles an hour tops.
Oh, God, okay. See, and that is why I slow down to a stop at corners. That is exactly why.
Slow,
so,
steady, and sensible.
Exactly.
Inspirational. You're going to be, in another life, you're a driving instructor.
I am. I absolutely am.
You want to know something really terrible before I let everybody go?
Go on.
In cars, the crash test dummies are male.
Are they?
They're a 6-foot man.
This is across a lot of stuff, though, isn't it? I think we've talked about this in the podcast before.
Yeah.
Like with COVID, there's hardly any who was I? Oh God, I'm so annoyed. I can't remember who I was speaking to about this, but she said that you know, there's so much anecdotal evidence about periods and COVID upsetting, disrupting periods and cycles. And she said that if there was a man, there would be so much data on this, but because it's women, we don't have any. But this goes for a lot of other things as well, doesn't it? That men are. It's tested on men.
I'm looking for the book that I have that literally explains the unconscious. It's called Invisible. I've talked about it before. It's called Invisible Women, and it's about the unconscious gender bias in our society. Yes. And it's by an author called Caroline, and I'm really sorry, but I can't remember her surname right this second. But Google it. It's called Invisible Women. I swear it's in this room somewhere. Anyway, literally the best book I've ever read. But so I learned about the car thing after my brother had his accident, because he is basically the model of a crash test dummy, which, of course, when he had his accident, like, obviously it was a horrible accident, but it was still to his... The car was going to protect him as best as it could protect anybody, basically. Like, if I had had that accident, it would have been very different. So I found this book, because I remember, I think it was, like, someone in the hospital, one of the doctors said it, and was like, well, you know, his height is an advantage because of the crash test dummy thing. And then... I found this book, and she was being interviewed on Radio 2, I think, at the time, and I was listening to it, and it was about how they'd found this female astronaut to go up to space, and they couldn't send her because there wasn't a suit that fit her, because all the suits were made for men.
God.
Also, fun that caveat, do you want a little story about the fragile ego and little willies of NASA men, just for lols? I can't remember where I heard this. That's actually really mean, because astronauts are very brave, sorry. They don't have fragile egos, they don't have little... Well, they might have little willies. I don't know. Basically, you have to have...
Willies are good willies,
all
though.
Willies are great willies. Literally, no biggie. I shouldn't have mentioned the willies, but it is relevant to the story, okay, so stick with me. But basically... in your spacesuit, you have to have what's effectively like a space condom, like, because your whole body's got to be protected, right? So they have to like measure like your dick bit for your condom thing to go in, right? Which is pretty cool.
No.
But basically, you had to tell the people making the suit, so you just had to like register like how big your willy was, so like small, medium, large. But obviously, it had to fit, right? You couldn't say whatever. But none of the men were saying small, because they obviously didn't want to. So all of these men were saying large because toxic masculinity, and then they've got these spacesuits and they just don't fit properly. So then NASA had to relabel the sizing to be large, extra large, and extra, extra large.
No way. No way. That is so funny.
Definitely fact-check me on that.
Funny.
But that was an anecdotal story that I heard on the back of the spacesuit thing. And then that
does sound about right, though.
Well, because there was also that song about, you know, they were sending that woman to space and they asked her how many... They gave her 100 tampons and asked her if that would be enough. She was going there for 5 days.
She was only going for, like, 5 days.
I think this all the time to myself. I'm like, whenever I can't do anything, like whenever, I don't know, whenever I lose signal in central London, for example, I'm always like, how could we have got somebody to space 60 years ago, but I can't like WhatsApp you from Fulham? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, whenever I'm driving up the west of London, like Earl's Court, any of it, just can't text. There's no signal. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. Because our office is West London, so I have to drive through it. And it's just, I'm on the phone, boop, gone. And I always think, I'm like, but then I think, okay, so they got to space and they did on the moon, which was fine, but also 100 tampons for 5 days. It's not really a surprise that the rest of it's gone to shit. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, that is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
Yeah, I've got to stop holding them in such high regard.
Yeah, very much so.
So fun. Although we went to we got to go, but we went to the Lightyear premiere and we heard from this amazing scientist, this woman who worked for NASA, and we're like low-key stalking her right now because we really wanted to come on the podcast. So watch this space.
We really wanted to come on.
Really, because I'm fascinated. I do think space people are pretty cool. So it'd be really cool to talk to her. But yeah. What if it never happens, it means she said no.
Yeah, exactly. Like a lot of people, like Rebel Wilson.
Let her go, Al. Let her go.
I can't. Thank you all so much for listening, for being with us here today.
On Monday, Alex, I will see you at Euston in about 45 minutes.
Yep. We will see you all on Monday for a really cool ep. Thank you for listening. And should I delete this?
What's the name of the podcast, Al? Say it again.
Should I delete this?
Mortified.
I do that way too often. Should I delete that? It's part of the Acast Creator Network.